Are you ready to exist boldly? I'm Leanne Scheer, lifestyle coach, founder of Cycle District, and gym owner times two. Welcome to Undone and Uncensored. Today's topic, reboot your brain to get results. And boy, do I ever have a struggle with this one right now. And I'll talk to you. I think today we might probably focus more on changing your body because that's what I'm struggling with. But I will tell you that everything that I'm going to share with you right now works for anything that you want to do, anything that you think that you want to do. And I know we've had a previous podcast about this, talking about the importance of discovering your why you really want something, and making sure that you have a clear idea of what you want. So just to touch on that a little bit, if I want to lose 10 pounds because I have a class reunion coming up, why is that going to be important to me after the class reunion comes up? Because that is why I yo-yo diet. So maybe I start with the idea that I want to impress people that I haven't seen in a long time, but there's not the why after that, the deeper why of I want to continue to feel good. I want my clothes to fit and not feel uncomfortable. I want to be healthy and live a long life to be on this earth as long as I possibly can. We just do that short term. Those are always the easy things, right? They're like, yes, I can do this. The motivation is there because it's very short term. And then after that happens, it's kind of, we haven't set ourselves up for the big picture and why that could really be impactful for our entire life. So always starting when you're looking at any change or doing something that you haven't been doing, the very first thing is always really finding your why. So if we start there, sitting down, doing your why, we've already talked about this one, and I have just recently done this. So what I've been struggling with lately is I know that it's imperative for me and my body to be lifting weights. Now, as an aerobics instructor and a cycle instructor, the majority of what I do when I teach is cardio. And cardio for my particular body shape and composition is important, but less important. I have a very, so just a to make more sense of that, depending on your body and the shape of your body and how it's structured and what your goals are, there's times to be doing different things. If I'm a person with not a typical body shape where I have a large frame but small bones. And I'm sure there's a lot of people that do, but the majority of the time, larger frame has larger bones and small frames have smaller bones. Not always the case, but in my case, large frame, small bones, and not a lot of shape in my body. So smaller boobs, smaller butt, just not a lot, not a curvy girl at all. And I have a very, very difficult time building muscle. So when I get on an EVOLT, which is a body composition screening that screens where your fat is, I can look very thin and have a higher level of fat than you would think. And even, and for me, I don't really care what that number is. If I feel good about, I look about how I look, but what I do care about when I'm looking at a body composition screening is visceral fat. And that visceral fat is the fat around your organs. That's the dangerous fat. That is the fat that can impact your health. So that's something that I'm always looking at when I'm on there. But when I do get on there, people are always surprised. They're like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize that your fat levels would be that high. Also, when my fat levels are at a more normal range, I would say, not like doing some type of competition, which I've never done, but just so you can kind of get a visual of what I'm talking about, a normal range where it's just healthy, I tend to look underweight and have people, as you know, if you've listened to my prior podcasts, I have a history of eating disorders. So when I get my weight down to that weight, I have a tendency to have very little curves. So the curves become even less at that point. And people are going, hey, are you okay? You look really thin. Even though if I were to get on that body composition, my fat might be in a very healthy range for who I am. It's referred to a lot as skinny fat. So knowing that about my body, it's really imperative for me to be doing less cardio and more lifting weights. Building muscle is something that's going to be incredibly important to me. I know I have a very similar shape to my mother's. And other than her being about 4 inches shorter than me, we build muscle the same way, and it's very difficult for us to do it. I have very weak upper body, very strong lower body, but I do not build muscle easily. There was a point in my life about, I'm going to say 3 years ago, where I was very consistent with lifting weights. I was lifting weights in the gym with another member, and it was very early mornings. So we'd get up and go in about 4:30 or 5, which really was not my jam, but that was working with her schedule. It was nice to have a person in there to work out with, and we had this schedule that I just went in, lifted weights, and I stayed very, very consistent with it. I'm going to guess upwards of a year where I could really start visibly seeing some muscle. I was getting some good exchange between muscle and fat, which takes a lot longer than most people would think. And my body felt strong and better. I was able to do things that I wasn't previously able to do. I felt stronger in my body. I didn't feel as weak. And I was on this really great habit. Let's say that I had the habit of taking care of my body and getting to the gym and lifting weights. This was during the time that when I stopped doing that, it was around the time that COVID was happening, the gyms were shutting down. I hate to refer back to that in almost every podcast, it feels like, but just to give you a, like our, that time that we spent together working out, and she had since moved on, and I wasn't working out with her anymore, but I was still in that habit of working out. COVID happens, gym shut down. And I, of course, had access to the gym. I could have gone in there by myself or with my husband and worked out. But it was a scary time for me. It stopped being important to me, and I didn't go back to my why. I just stopped doing it. Started opening bottles of wine at night, thinking about how he's going to lose everything, how potentially, God knows how long the gyms are going to be closed, right? Becoming a victim and not taking care of my body at all with food, with alcohol, and with working out. It came to a complete stop for me. As we built back and reopened the gyms, you know, they were open and closed, you know, 2 to 4 months over that time in different times of the pandemic, I had completely stopped lifting weights, and we weren't teaching classes at the time. There was at one point right towards the end of a lockdown that we went, or no, I'm sorry, not a lockdown, but we had reopened the gyms, but people were still uncomfortable being in places close to each other. So we were doing aerobics outdoors, and it was only a couple of times a week. And so I kind of lost all of the, I'd at least lost the initiative to keep doing what I was doing. I was in a pattern of more of a self-abuse, even though I was working out. My focus was, how are we going to make it? It was just, I'm sure that I was depressed. I'm sure that I was confused. Everything was out of my control, which is never, even though, quite honestly, almost everything except the decisions that we're making day to day is out of our control. There are certain things that are in our control, but whether that gym was able to open back up and financially make it through what we went through, that was out of my control at that point. And so, but I had got caught in the rut of that. And I'm just telling you all of this because it's time for me now to get back into that mode of that being important. It's so important to me for so many different reasons. As I'm aging, osteoporosis could be a concern for me. Building your muscle, just as you get older, you start losing muscle. So it's important to stay on the, and again, we've talked about this before, but flexibility, strength, flexibility, mobility, strength, and cardio are all like an integrated piece of a pie. And the lifting weights is an important piece of that pie, especially for me and my body type. So I'm here again. I'm back, and I keep trying to get back in the gym. I'm going to tell you what my excuse is. And keep in mind, I am a gym owner, and I've been a gym owner for 18 years, and I've gotten comfortable in the gym. I use the excuse that I don't like the weight room, that it's uncomfortable to me. I don't like working out in front of people. Sometimes I feel like people who lift weights and are super focused, which is a good thing. Keep in mind, these are my excuses. So they're not necessarily reality, but they can tend to be very focused. And sometimes I take that as not friendly. So for me to walk in a room of men and women who are there to take a class and they're happy and they're talking and it's a social event versus lifting weights. Is it necessarily social? You're more by yourself. I get super confused even now. Now, my husband is always like, Leanne, just ask somebody. But if I don't get the whole, I'm on a set and I leave and go work on another piece of equipment, and then somebody goes to get on that equipment, you're like, no, I'm sorry, I'm on there. No, you're not. Like, can we work in? Can we work together? I just don't. I'm an aerobics girl. I have a cycle program. I don't get all the rules. And I think at times that, although we have really great members, and I've seen this happen very few times, there's always like the kind of aggressive, not that they're necessarily taking steroids, but look like kind of a roided out jerk who's like, I'm there right now. And it's like, it's just intimidating to me. And it's my space. I mean, at the end of the day, I pay the bills for that space. I should be the last person intimidated in there. And actually, I should use it as a, hey, guy, you don't have to be rude. I'm learning the rules here. Let's work in together. Let's do this. Like, I shouldn't, it's not even like me to put up with people being like that. And it's not even necessarily happened. I've heard it's happened to other people. It hasn't happened to me, but that intimidates me. I don't want to have that conversation. I probably would get really mad and rude. And I don't, oh my gosh, you guys, I have to tell you this story. So I have the tendency to pop off. It takes me a long time to get to anger unless someone's aggressive. And then I'm quick to get pretty witty and aggressive back. But one of the things that I just did the other day that's really embarrassing to me, we live in a kind of an older retirement community of golf course. And there's younger families in here, but there's a lot of older people. And we're getting concrete put in the backyard to do some hardscape. So I've been letting my dog out. I have a little Westie. And who's not barking because I had the brilliant idea of taking him to the groomers while I'm trying to do these podcasts. So you will not hear Riker barking throughout the whole podcast. Thank God. That drives me crazy. Anyway, I've been letting him out front. He's a little scaredy cat. So he's about a 20-pound dog that just shakes, and he's super sweet, and he's a barker. So he barks nonstop. He barks at me when I walk in, and he will continue to bark until you reach down and pet him. And after you've pet him long enough, then he gets, you know, like he's okay and he stops. So he doesn't run off. I let him out the front and to go to the bathroom because he couldn't be, I was worried about him getting on the concrete in the back. And right when I did that, I realized that there was an older gentleman walking down the road and with his little dog. And it's not really Riker's nature, but he starts wagging his little stump tail and he runs across the street to greet the dog. And the gentleman is scared, which I understand. Like, he's saying, no, no. And I understand. I've been bit in the face by a dog. If I had a dog, whether it's a little dog or bigger, I'm typically not as scared of little dogs, but I don't love it. I don't like a dog chasing me, barking at me. So I yell out, hey, he's super friendly. He won't hurt you. He just likes to bark. And the guy's very gruff. He's like, yeah, right. And he's like putting his hand up and acting like he's going to kick my dog. And he's just very like, he's very mad. I'm like, he won't hurt you. He'll come right back. And at the same time, I'm going, come on, Riker. Come back over, which he just turns around and looks at me and runs right back over, right? And the guy's like grumbling and I yell out and everything that's going through my mind is like, the fuck is wrong with you? Like, wait, you know what I said? Which this is growth for me. I said, boy, you need a nap. said it. I was like, boy, you needed a Boy, you need a nap. Like, what? Anyway, I kind of embarrassed myself. I'm glad I didn't say anything more rude. But anyway, the point of that story being that I don't want to have conflict with people. That I don't want to be embarrassed about what I say and how I do it. And if I had a weightlifter that was rude to me in the gym, I could really see myself. And yeah, I could see myself being like, what? Why are you acting like that? The bottom line there is I'm intimidated to be in the weight room. So then I went and got a little weight bench and weights, like 5 pounds to 25 pounds, and put it in my bedroom because I thought, I just don't want to go to the gym right now. I'm not ready to. The gym owner doesn't want to go to the gym and work out in the weight room. So the reason I'm telling you that is if that goes through your mind, that's okay. It goes through a lot of people's mind. My husband, since the time he started in a gym, has lifted weights. But you get those people that are in the weight room, you want them to come in and be friendly and social and take an aerobics class or cycle class, they're going to feel uncomfortable probably. They're going to be intimidated. They're not going to know exactly what you're doing or how you're going to do it. And they're going to want to avoid that space. So it's normal, but it is something that, so I've been trying to make an attempt at starting this and making all these excuses. And then the weights, I already have like clothes over the weights because I think I've told you before in podcasts, I'm just not that person. I need to find somebody that is very committed to lifting weights, that their timing works with mine. And that's the other thing. It's hard for me to go with a partner because my schedule is, I don't like that structured of a schedule right now. And I have time set aside for podcasts. I have time set aside for DJ school. I have time set aside for study. And then I have some stuff that I still do with the gym and teaching classes. So I need to schedule my time, but I don't want it to have to be at 4:30 in the morning. And I've kind of wrapped my mind around the gym. The best time to be at the gym that I can see right now is between about 11 o'clock in the morning till about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And when I say the best time, I mean, it's almost always dead in there and I could get around completely without feeling like I was encroaching on anybody's space or unsure if somebody was using a piece of equipment. It goes from about 50 to 100 people in the gym, probably to 10, which it's a 13,000 square foot gym. So that's a lot of space. So I've been telling myself, I need to start lifting weights again. I know I need to start lifting weights again. And in my mind, I'm going to try to do this. And I've said this a lot. So again, like I said in the beginning of this podcast, I'm going back to square one. Try means to make an attempt, to make an effort, attempt to take action. There's a, you know, the old Yoda saying that no, try not, do or do not. There is no try. Again, I don't watch Star Wars, but I do know that Yoda. I do know that Yoda quote. And I will say that it's true. Trying is meaningless. When you start, you're not trying if you're thinking about it. You might be trying to set up your why, trying to set up your action plan. But the minute you sit down and you start writing it out and start thinking about it, you're not trying anymore. You're doing it. You're setting yourself up for success. To do is to achieve or complete, to perform an action. So where try would be something that is makes sense. If I try to lift a 50-pound bar and I'm unable to do it, I still attempted to move. I was taking an action. I tried, but I'm not trying if I'm Jedi mind trick thinking about lifting the bar, but I never walk over and lift it. There is no such thing. We're either doing it or we are not. So kind of the idea, we have to take the idea of try out of our mind, start going back to, okay, why is this important to me? How do I want to do this? Why do I want to do this? And what am I willing to commit to? One of the biggest things that have helped a lot of the people that I work with and coach, it's an old Tony Robbins theory that I heard many, many years ago. Everything that we do in life, excuse me, everything that we do in life is to avoid pain or gain pleasure. So let's simplify this to eating a donut. I am looking at a donut. It smells really good. I think I've said this before too. I find donuts typically disappointing to eat, but they smell good and I think I want to eat the donut. If I were to sit and think about pain and pleasure before I took a bite and I thought, hey, Leanne, you have a goal of losing 5 pounds, let's say, and you really, really want that because you have A, B, and C, D, and E, F, G coming up. This is what you decided and defined for yourself that you want to lose that 5 pounds. I gain more pleasure out of not eating it because I'm on track than I do eating it. I'm avoiding pain of eating it and then realizing that I just did something that I didn't want to do. It didn't match who and what I wanted. So everything that we do is to avoid pain or to gain pleasure. Now, if I look at that donut and I think I find more pleasure in eating that right now than I do the pain of not getting to the goal that I want, I've got something going on with my why, right? I have to check why that isn't part of it. So maybe I really don't want to do what I've set out to lose. Maybe that 5 pounds isn't really that important to me if I'm not looking at the pain pleasure principle. Because of course it doesn't cause pain right then. Your brain is going, no, this is pleasurable. It smells good. I want to eat this and enjoy eating it. You're not thinking about the pain it's going to cause after you've eaten it the next morning when you get up and you feel like you've had a setback. So even taking the time to think, am I avoiding pain or am I gaining pleasure? And then putting those in the right perspective for you to be able to take the action to move forward. There's a motivational speaker that I love to listen to. Her name is Mel Robbins. It's M-E-L-R-O-B-B-I-N-S. You've probably already heard of her. But she was talking about a time that she was really depressed. She was having a hard time getting out of bed. And she created this theory, instinct. Once you have an instinct to do something, you have to take action on that goal, moving physically within 5 seconds. So I think she described it as laying in bed and having the thought, I need to get up out of bed, because she had been depressed. She wasn't, if I remember correctly, she wasn't working. She was having a hard time physically getting up out of bed. And she envisioned like a rocket taking off. And she told herself she had to hit the count of 5 to do it. So when you have the instinctual thought of what you want, I want to go lift weights. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, you get up and move. You get up and move to what you want. And I found that to be really helpful. I haven't implemented that in any other thing, but I'm also a person who would prefer to lay in bed and have a hard time being an early riser and getting going in the morning. That has worked tremendously for me, just to even close my eyes, think you want to get up right now, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and move. It is, if you don't follow her and you're not listening to her, please do. She's amazing. But I'm going to have some accountability here, because I'm going to start my weightlifting. weightlifting. I'm going to start my weightlifting journey. I'm going to put it on my stories on Instagram, because I want to be honest with you about what works, doesn't, when I go, when I don't go, how I'm feeling. If I have had a run-in in the weight room, I am sure that there's thousands of women out there that feel exactly the way that I do, and not even more so than how I feel. It's my business, and I can be intimidated in it and not want to mess with it, not want to be in that environment. So I love 1,000 other things in that gym, but that is one place that I'm intimidated. That's not about the people in there. That's about me. That's on me. So I'm going to take a risk. I'm going to sit down and get really clear on my whys, even though I talked to you about some of them. I'm going to get really clear on a schedule for myself. And I am going to keep the gain pleasure, avoid pain. For me, I want to be walking and moving and have an upright body and one that's strong for as long as I'm alive. And I'm not going to get that by
the way that I am not lifting weights right now and losing muscle. So I'm going to take you on my journey with me. If you're not already following me, Undone and Uncensored on Instagram, I'll put it in the Facebook stories too. But I am going to be real. And I think it's so important because as coaches or as people, I will tell you that it is really true when you hear the saying that people go into the industry a lot of times trying to fix themselves. I know that my intent need to help other people has always come back to me really wanting to be better and helping myself. I had in my past have been caught up in pretending and kind of fraudulent behavior of acting like I have it all together and it looks like I have it all together. And on the inside, I'm just like drowning thinking, now not only can I not do it, how can I help you if I can't do it myself? And then the weight of feeling like a fraud, like if they only knew that what your struggle was. So what I have found for myself is being a coach that doesn't have to be perfect, that doesn't have to have all the answers. I know what's worked for me in the past. I know how I've gotten through it. I know how I've gotten back into unhealthy behavior, and I know how to get back. And I think it's so important to say, today's a hard day. Today was I don't know how to get through this. Because for me, even as a coach, when I go through that, it's like, okay, Leanne, there's a way to do this. You got to figure it out because your client is going to get to the point where she's here or he or she's here and they're going to need your help to get through it. So it pushes me and it pushes me to really be living what I'm preaching. It's important to me. And when I'm not, it's just as important to be able to say, hey, I'm human. I'm struggling. Here's what's happening here. Here's how I got through it. What I won't do is talk to you about something that I don't have an answer for. So if I'm struggling with something in my own life that I don't know how to get through and I haven't gotten through it, you're not going to hear me talking about it other than you might see me on an Instagram story talking to you about how lazy I am. I don't want to work out. But if it's something that's, you know, really important that needs an answer, I will not start trying to tell you how to pull your life together when I haven't figured it out for myself. So I'm starting back at square one, rebooting my brain to get the results that I want. It is really important to me to pull this back. Lifting weights, if it's a journey that you also want to start, is a long, tedious journey. And it's you don't see results right away. You will feel better, I promise, if you just take one day at a time. In the beginning, you might even feel like you're gaining weight just a little bit if you're not adjusting your food. And even if you're adjusting your food, if you're lifting weights and working out pretty hard, your body can get swollen. And it takes a minute. So it's one of those things you have to have patience. You have to have patience to be able to see those muscles, your food and your intake and having enough protein. For me, I'm a vegetarian, so that's something that I have to work really hard at. It needs to be on. So it's not just getting to the gym and lifting weights, but there's a whole process that has to happen to make that be something that you feel stronger and better and that your body can sustain. So I'm starting my journey. You will see me on Instagram tomorrow doing that. That's a commitment. And I will stay telling you how I'm doing. If you are anything like me, if you're starting this journey too, the beginning is always like once you get yourself there, that's the easy part. And then maintaining over time is a little bit harder. So taking you on my journey, I hope that you're starting one of your own, whether this is starting a new business, getting in a weight room. Maybe for you, it's getting cardio done, you lifting weights, but you know that you're lacking in flexibility and cardio, and it's something that you want to start doing. Maybe it's something as simple as getting out of bed earlier in the morning or keeping your room clean. I said this earlier in a class last week, but you want to know how you're doing in your life? Go take a look at your car. I heard that a long time ago, and it's really true. When we're out of sorts and our lives aren't together and we're kind of, for me anyway, I'll tell you that when my car starts getting unorganized and dirty, the very first thing I can do to pull my life together, I think I know people who feel this way about making their bed. If they just stop and make their bed, everything, I clean their house. For me, it's cleaning my car. it's a good start to, I always like to go buy fresh flowers, clean out my car, make sure that my space around me is organized. Wherever you are at, let's say that you're really struggling just to get out of bed and take a shower. Maybe you just, you're not there yet. You're not, it's not time to clean out your car. It's your focus needs to be on your depression. And maybe it's the 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, getting up and taking a shower, and maybe simple little steps. It doesn't matter where you're at. We're all in different places. There's always going to be people that are struggling more than you. There's always people that are going to be struggling less. So reboot your brain, get the results you want. I want to hear how you're doing. I want to hear what you're doing. And I'd love to have some of you on the podcast. I know I have a couple of people coming up that I am going to be talking to a little bit about their experience and how and why they started their fitness journey and or businesses and all sorts of different things. So stay tuned. Talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening today. Book a coaching session or purchase merch at www.undoneanduncensored.com or give me a follow on the gram, Undone and Uncensored. Have a great week.